thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And I'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins in studio for our segment on Life and Taxes. Good morning, Tax Man.
Good morning, Mike.
And what are you bringing to the airwaves today?
Well, last week, you know, we did a Celebrity Corner edition, mm-hmm. and we learned a little bit about the trials and tribulations of John McAfee and his tax evasion.
Not too smart.
A little extradition from Spain is not the way you want to start your month. But that's what's going on with him. And then, you know, oddly enough, we have another celebrity story in the news.
Oh, good.
And this is one where we actually handled this several years ago, when Prince passed away, when he died. And, you know, in that particular regard, what we were talking about was the fact that he failed to plan. So he planned to fail. Yeah. And by that, I mean he had no will. He had no will when he passed away. So in that regard, he passed away in Minnesota. So intestate law in the state of Minnesota is what governed who received Prince's estate. He didn't have a spouse. He had no children. Therefore, he had half brothers and sisters who came forward.
Sure.
There were several paternity tests that had to be done to confirm whether or not they truly were Prince's heirs or not. And the other big thing is that, you know, no qualification relative to the personal representative, because normally in a will, you know, you appoint your executor who you want to handle your affairs.
Right.
Well, now you've got a bunch of beneficiaries who are on the same line wanting to, you know, administer Prince's estate. Might have something to do with an executor, a personal representative commission at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, the court in this particular regard appointed a trust company to administer the estate. And we knew when we first brought this story up, Mike, that that was only the beginning. You know, it was only the beginning with who were his heirs, how were we going to choose who the administrator was. That was the beginning. Now we have a new story out.
Uh-oh.
And this gets into the estate taxes. And we knew that, you know, not surprising that this was going to end up rearing its ugly head for Prince's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And just bear in mind, the current estate tax environment we're in right now is a $10 million exemption indexed for inflation. Right now it's around $11.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as you're below that, you don't have an estate tax problem. You know, and so it's a very favorable environment. We talked about how it's very good right now to plan your estate and allow your assets to go who you want to, but keep them, you know, with you until you pass because of the step up in tax basis rule. So in Prince's regard, though, his estate clearly is over that amount.
Over 11 and a half.
Yeah, over 11 and a half.
Life is tough.
So he's filed his Form 706, his estate tax return, and he claimed, his executor claimed, $82 million.
Wow.
In assets. So $82
million.
Mm. All right. IRS comes back. Let's take a look at those numbers. Prince's estate. What do you think? What do you think they did with them?
They bumped
from 82.
They went up a little bit.
Oh, you better believe
it. About 50% more.
Let's double it.
Yeah, okay. Let's 64. I was going to go 134 on you, but okay.
You know, that only results in another $38.7 million in tax.
Only.
Only.
Yeah.
Because bear in mind, the estate tax is 40% currently of your, you know, of the amount of assets that you pass away with in your estate. So the estate claimed $82 million. IRS says, not so fast, $163. So here we are. We are now going to be headed to the tax court to determine who is right. And in this particular regard, it's you know, it's really going to be a battle of the appraisers, Mike.
Sure.
So you're going to have Prince's appraiser saying, this real property is worth X. You know, here's the methodology we used. This company that Prince owned a share of is worth X. Here's why that's the case. You know, minority discounts, you know, lack of marketability will be put in there. The big thing that's going to come down to in his estate, obviously, is the rights, the music
publishing,
rights.
Right?
That's right, publishing rights.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to come down to, about how much are these songs going to be worth in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very difficult to, you know, prove one way or the other. But it'll be the battle of the appraisers, and you can see what's at stake for Prince, because bear in mind, Mike, these aren't liquid assets that we're talking about.
Right, you can't sell them on the open market.
Yeah, you can't go out and say, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to convert this to cash really easily. No, because everyone's going to be subjective as to what they think that the estate's worth. I mean, we can go back to the Michael Jackson estate.
He bought the Beatles publishing.
That's right. Right. He had the Beatles publishing rights, and they had to sell those off.
Yeah.
His estate is still being settled, and he died back in 2009.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're looking at a situation where it's going to be a long, drawn-out process for Prince's estate. Now, you know, why do I bring this up at this point in time? You know, Andrew, I don't have $163 million. I don't have $82 million.
I don't have
$8.2 million, you know.
Good. I'm under the threshold.
So I'm under the threshold for estate tax purposes. Now, why is Andrew bringing this up? Well, I think it's interesting to see kind of how this goes through the process of when someone passes and then where we end up relative to estate taxes. But also brought it up, Mike, because we're getting a lot of questions right now regarding what's going to happen with the estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
We're in election year. You know, where is this going to go, Andrew, Cecil? What do we need to do right now to be planning in case we end up with, a regime in power that's likely to probably lower the exemption amount and maybe up the taxes that are going to be owned on estates, maybe do away with step-up basis. Those are all proposals that are
That's not etched in stone, that 11.5 million.
No, it's not. And it actually sunsets in 2026 anyway.
We've talked about that.
Yes. Yeah. So even if there's nothing that's done, it goes away in 2026, it goes back to 5 million.
5 million. Big difference.
Of course, remember, what do we hear from candidate Biden? I'm going to eliminate the Donald Trump tax cuts. Very clear.
Right.
You know,
it's in their platform, by the way.
There you go. I'm eliminating the Donald Trump tax cuts. Well, guess what that means? If he eliminates that, your estate tax is going back to 5 million.
5 million.
Yeah. And so what does this bring up? Well, there's a lot of individuals, when you start adding in your whole estate, individuals with businesses that are out there that are difficult to value, that we could see maybe some gifting strategies that would need to be done to try to take advantage of this increased estate tax exemption in the event that we lower that amount. And now, why do I say that? Here you see, we've got a battle of appraisers going on, okay? During the Trump administration, they wanted to do away with a lot of the discounting rules with closely held businesses. They wanted to do with the lack of marketability discount. They wanted to do away with the lack of control discount. There were proposed regulations from the IRS on the table to do away with that. They wanted book value. They wanted assets minus liabilities. That's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what your business is worth. That's what the plan was. Do you know why that never came to fruition?
No.
Trump said, for every regulation you pass, you got to do away with two regulations.
Sounds like Ronald Reagan and his tax cuts. He had that same formula, 2-1.
So for every regulation that you want to promulgate, you got to find two somewhere else and take them out. He passed an executive order that said that. Do we think in the event that we have a President Biden, that that's going to stand true, that a policy like that's going to stand true? I would venture to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So what would stop the IRS from dusting off those regulations and saying, hey, look, we wanted to say it's book value for all businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Assets minus liabilities, that's what you get. In the event that happens, a lot of values of those businesses are going to increase. They're just going to increase. And I hate to say it, but it's a fake increase because we all know that you can't go out there and sell a closely held business for what the book value is.
Sure.
Because it just doesn't work like that. So the interesting thing here is going to be, we've obviously got our eyes on the horizon. We know this is coming. There's going to be an election come November 3rd.
Sure.
We're going to have November through the end of the year at least to do some planning for individuals. And so in the event that we see an opportunity and we know that this exemption may be going down and we know that regulations may be promulgated to do away with minority discounting, lack of control discounting for closely held businesses, and you're one of those people out there sitting there thinking, I've got some of those assets and I'm getting older and I'm thinking about retiring anyways, you know, that's an ideal situation to potentially, you know, gift a portion of your business to the next generation to try to, you know, save some of this from estate tax purposes.
I think Cecil and Wes have talked about this before, but shouldn't you plan for the worst and hope for the best? So, I mean, you put in a roadmap out there saying, let's plan, the tax being the worst case scenario.
So what we've done is, we always talk about this, we build flexibility into our estate plans right now, Mike.
Right.
We say, look, you don't have an estate tax problem right now, but you might, depending on where this goes. So that's what we do with all of our clients who are close to that $5 million level or somewhere thereabouts. And people think, hey, that sounds like a lot. You start doing the math on life insurance, and you start doing the math. I mean, because everything's included when you're talking about an estate. Anything you got your hands on, you can get there fairly quickly, especially if you own a business.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
or a farm.
Yeah, farm. Things like that.
Agriculture.
So, you know, the fact is that it's going to be interesting coming into the year, depending on which way we go. We obviously know we have a sunset anyways in 2026, regardless of what happens. But the fact is it could come sooner rather than later.
Yep.
And, and I know individuals out there are thinking right now, what do I need to do? Well, it's, you know, plan. And the emails that we're getting right now from our clients saying, hey, what should I do, are great, because trust me, if anything happens and we see the tea leaves on the wall, I'll be right back in this chair telling all of our listeners, make that appointment with Harbell and Collins. Let's come and review and let's see if there's anything we need to do before the end of the year, you know, depending on which way this election cycle does end up going.
Yeah, I would make that call today and just get on the calendar and talk.
And we can talk options. Yeah, we can talk about options about what you want to do.
You know, wait till the last minute and then you have to stew on it for, you know, 12 hours. You know, I'd rather have a couple months to
And, you know, when we talk about appraisals and getting things in order, if we need to go ahead and be proactive about that, you know, there's going to be a lot of busy stuff going on before the end of the year. So it might be something that we want to go ahead and set in motion, or at least get on someone's calendar.
Absolutely.
So we can make sure that we get the information we need to take the necessary action to avoid paying the government these taxes and end up in a situation like you were with Prince.
Don't be a dummy like Prince.
Exactly.
Figure that one out. God, who was his counsel? Wasn't
he
Harbell and Collins?
He didn't have one. It doesn't seem like his lawyers never pointed him in the direction of the estate planning, which is just a fatal error.
That's a shame. Yeah. Give Andrew Foster a call today, 252-726-9050, or go online to harbellandcollins.com. Get on the calendar, have that consultation, and don't be like Prince, plan for the future.